Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guests, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about our gifts. How can we see our value in this world? And how do we able to take all of our gifts and our successes and have them create something that is truly following the path? Not the path of resistance, not the path of abundance and collection. It's more the path of helping and serving others. Today, my guest is Damon Deryl Naylor. And again, we were talking about his works on being able to help you identify what is your gift, how you can create it, bring it forth, and be able to flourish in this day and age when we say things are just not as they used to be. We seem like we're going uphill, or maybe we've hit a dead end. Damon, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Jeanette. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to chatting with you and your audience.
Oh, you're so welcome. Damon, don't you think that sometimes we say we're on this road and we don't know where it's going, but boy, we feel like we're pushing uphill. Some people say I'm at a dead end and I'm just going to lay down and let it roll over, right?
Yes, all the time. I find so many people who echo those sentiments. Yes.
Well, what do you think? You know, now we see it in this year, 2019. It's totally different even just 10 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, it was out. You needed to market. You needed to do social media. You needed to blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
You know. And now it's sort of like people aren't even connecting anymore, and they're finding that those outward things they were looking for just aren't showing up anymore, do you think?
Yes, definitely. And because those most valuable, priceless things are actually within us. And it's all about actual connectivity as opposed to the technological connectivity that we have. And that's what our society is just lacking, that warm, connecting, bonding, those attachments, those, important relationships. That's what it's all about. Regardless of how much technologically savvy we become, those core elements and those principles we can't get around. Just, you know, relating and having that contact and just having bonds with people, being able to share, to release your emotions, to love, to care. Those are all integral, you know, components of just living a successful and fulfilled life.
Right, because, you know, there used to be a lot of them. I mean, you know, I'm in my 60s. I can remember even just 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was, how many marketing meetings are you going to go this week, or how many lunches or breakfasts are you going to show up to,
yeah,
and pass out cards? And almost it felt like you were going through a process,
yeah,
to be successful these days. And it's almost just the opposite now. It's almost, well, I don't really have a card, but, you know,
yeah,
let's just sit and talk.
Yes.
Don't you think we have flipped the gamut of numbers and having to say, this is my outward success versus saying, I'm just going to show up for my inward success?
Yes. Like you said, the trends, they shift. You know, you have just different seasons. And so the seasons have changed again. And as you stated, you have to pay attention to that, that you may remain relevant, because once, you know, a whole new trend evolves and comes into being, if you don't adjust and modify the way you deliver and the way you act and do the things that you do, then you actually get left behind. But, yes,
right,
it's going back to, like you said, I think more so just being you, who you are, being authentic, being real, being raw. And that's what this generation is really needing, because with social media, everyone is basically putting on a facade, and everyone is not who they actually are. There's, you know, there's the projection and there's the image, but then there's the identity. And I always try to tell people to make sure your image and your identity match. You know, the image is the external projection, but your identity is who you are at the core. And if we can find our core values and everything, allow everything that we do to emanate from those pillars of our soul, then we'll be able to be consistent, we'll be respected, and people will really connect with us, because that's what it's all about. As you were stating, it's not really about just the numbers and the followers and all of that, but how are we really connecting with people? How are we really attaching and just being authentic and transparent with what we're trying to share?
You know, Damon, also, too, you know, you're a man and I'm a woman, and you look at it, and the women say, we are so tired of the facade that we have to carry. It's,
yes.
You know, how many earrings and have your hair colored right and make sure you've got on enough makeup and blah, blah, blah. You know, and still, to this day, that still cannot let that banner down, because people still have to be, quote, show up as they should be perceived.
Yes.
You know, I hear that all the time. Even someone had said to me, my gosh, I don't know when it was, but one of the decades, and they said, you need to fix yourself and present as. And I'm going, huh? What's that? You know?
Yes.
And still, and we look at it, we say, is that their projection and their issue?
Yes.
Or is it truly mine? Many times it's their perception, yes?
Yes, yes. It's definitely oftentimes people's just perception of you externally. And that's why I say you have to really analyze and objectively view yourself so that you know who I truly am at the core. And when you arrive at that place, of course people's opinions and perspectives, they matter, but they don't carry as much weight. And they don't affect you as much when you know exactly who you are and where you're trying to go. Because I think, and I like the fact of what you said, especially as far as women, and it's ironic that you said that. That was just in my spirit, my mind a few days ago, how it seems like society, especially with women, it's like they're just never good enough. Feel as though, you know, I'm never sufficient. I'm never enough. But I want you and all women to know you are enough. You know, who you are, that's you, and that's who you are. You live it, you love it to the fullest, and just be you. Don't worry about the other people's perceptions and the external perspective of you, because all of those things at the end of the day will not matter. Just when you look in the mirror, how do you feel about yourself? When you analyze your self-esteem, your self-concept, your self-worth, is it high or is it low? And the place you want to get to is when you look in a mirror that you feel good about yourself, what you're doing, who you are, who you've become. And if not, just make the changes, but do it for yourself. Because what I've learned about people, regardless of how you change and adjust according to their standards, they will never be satisfied. You know, you can, if you're heavy, you know, you might feel as though you're overweight, or people might tell you that. All of a sudden you lose weight, they say, oh, you've lost too much weight. You look too skinny. Yes. You look funny now. And it's like, well, really? You told me to lose weight. And that's what I'm saying. That's why you have to get to a place of, look, I'm doing this for me. I want to look a certain way. I want to feel a certain way. This is for me. You know, if you like it, good. If not, you know, at least I'm happy with it. And I think if we can get to that place of maturation, then things will be much more clear. You know, you'll be at peace with yourself. You'll be happier just because you know I'm satisfied with me.
And I think that's the first step on your path to success is awareness. Awareness, truth, authenticity, and reality.
Yes.
Let's talk about the second step. The second step, we see it as a gift. What are you really here for?
Yes.
What do you really have innately to give? And do you always have to find letters and degrees to be able to validate it? What is a gift to you?
Well, a gift is an endowment that you've been created and programmed with, and it's already there within you. And what you said was so paramount, you said it's all about discovery. And it's funny that you said that as well, because two things I address is discovering your who, which we've been talking about, your identity, and then fulfilling your what or discovering your what. And normally they go together, your who and your what. I call it the noun and the verb factor. And so one of my mantras is all men and women are created with a skill and a mission to fulfill. And it's all about if you can find out what your purpose is, and you find it by just analyzing the activities you've done. You've been given previews of what your gift is, of what your talent is. And I typically ask people to ask themselves four questions, you know. And the first one is, what are you good at doing? And you have to be brutally honest and objective. Don't just say, well, I'm good at everything. I could do so much. Just look at yourself and say, and look at the patterns, the thing, something you've done, and you've noticed, okay, I have a skill with this. I'm pretty good with this. I like doing this. And you get some results with doing it. And so the next question is, you know, what do I like doing? In essence, what are you passionate about doing? Whenever you do it, you feel good about it. And I always put it in that order because you want to find something you're good at, then passionate, as opposed to passionate but might not be good. And I always give the example of American Idol. You know, a lot of people, they're passionate about singing or entertaining, but they're not gifted and skilled at doing it. And that's why you want to find something you're skilled at doing, but then also passionate about. Then the third question is, what do you do that has a positive effect on others? And here we're talking about you being effective. Okay, you found what you're good at. You found what you like. But now what are others saying? Because at some point, people should validate whatever gift or calling or purpose you have. Someone externally should be able to say, aha, that's you. You do that great. You know, man, I like the way you do that. Girl, you are awesome. I love when you engage in that particular activity. And then the last question is, what can you do without being paid or receiving any monetary compensation, yet be fulfilled and be contented? And so if you can find something that answers or you can categorize and put it in as an answer to each of those questions, then more than likely you find what I call your dominant gift. And your purpose is really to just use that gift. And that gift will serve as a vehicle, a key, and a GPS. It'll literally get you on track. It'll open up doors for you. It'll create opportunities for you. But it's all about discovering it and just being honest with yourself. What is the best area, or what's my best skill that I have? And once you do that and begin to use it, like I say, all kinds of opportunities will open. You'll by default have direction because you know, okay, this is my gift. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is what I'm created to contribute to humanity and serve others with. And then, you know, life will be much more easier once you find that and you're able to go with your natural flow and momentum.
Because I think sometimes people say, but this is what I have to do, because they get cemented more or less on the path.
Yeah.
Once you're cemented on the path, it's sort of like, oh, but I vested all of this into it. In other words, I've been doing it for years, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, I have to do it. That's what they is me.
Yeah.
And then people start to think that that impression is who they are, and they have to keep up that dialogue going. Don't you think sometimes people don't give themselves credit for growing in the first place? Because you can definitely do that for a few years or even decades, but eventually you'll say, I wish to grow out of this into something else. And the word, when we say, use the word growing, is so much more positive than I have to give it up because it's not working and I have to find something else. Don't you think growing is so much easier?
Yes, it is. And that's, like you said, that's a better word to use. And what I've found sometimes, it's not always that the person even doesn't want to, say, use that gift anymore. But sometimes the person wants to use it just in a different capacity.
Correct. That growing,
there you go, like you say. And what happens, we get so comfortable, and sometimes we get fearful of doing something different, especially when you've experienced a lot of success in one area. You know, you become comfortable and you're like, okay, well, this is it. You become predictable. But at the same time, there's this longing in you to try something different and to launch out. And, I mean, that's what I experienced myself, because I love teaching. I love speaking. My dominant gift is in the area of communication. And whenever it deals with anything dealing with communication, more than likely I'm going to excel at it because that's my area. But what I had to do was, as you stated, open my mind and see all of the various ways and all of the various capacities I can communicate. And that one gift has just opened up into all kinds of other ways, you know, with me creating a school, me online school, me writing books, me speaking, me doing music, doing spoken word. I'm a parent educator. And so we see the same gift just being used in all kinds of forms. And you know, like you said, then sometimes, you know, you want to go into a totally different direction, which oftentimes is a secondary, a gift, or just something you want to acquire. There's nothing wrong with that either, especially if you've used that dominant gift and just got to a place to where you're satisfied. And like you said earlier, you feel like you've hit a wall or a dead end. It's time to recalibrate. It's time to make a move and go into a direction where you're going to be challenged, but something that's really motivating you and piquing your interest you want to go after. But, yes, I totally agree with that.
Let's talk about meeting resistance. Let's say you say, my heart says, I feel it,
yeah,
but then your body can't do it, or your life doesn't seem to fit into it. Sometimes things don't seem to be in perfect alignment to support it. Don't you think that to be able to be aware and say, okay, maybe that story is what I am supposed to do. However, maybe I'm supposed to create it a different way. Because sometimes our bodies just don't do it like we expect. And we say, oh, well, then I mustn't have been meant for it.
Yes,
when
yes.
in reality, we were just, yes, we were really for it, but we were supposed to create something different of it, yes?
Yes, yes, and I totally agree. And what happens sometimes is not the end game, that's the problem. Like you said, we have the vision. We have the dream. We know where we want to go. We kind of know what we want to do. But what I found is a lot of people struggle with the actual path, the way of getting there, because it differs. Everyone's path is going to be different. We could kind of have the same goal, the same end game, but at the same time, our routes will differ. You know, somebody might go straight from high school to college and on to a certain profession, whereas somebody else, they may go into the military for years, but then later on, after they generate income or whatever, are able to go into that profession. You know, some people might bypass the college or military or whatever and go straight into a certain profession. And that's what I'm saying. The routes are different, but oftentimes the goals are the same. And that's what you want to be able to do, is find what's your route. And as you were stating earlier, sometimes, you know, we'll get signs and signals letting us know this is not the route. You know, it is the end game is the same, or the purpose and the goal, the objective is the same, but what is the route? And oftentimes what people would do once they reach that or meet that initial resistance, they'll just totally give up instead of recalibrating, adjusting, because sometimes even when you're on the right path, the timing won't be what you expected. Oftentimes it will take longer, and sometimes the route will be, like I said, sometimes you're going, it'll seem like you're detouring and you're going in a totally different direction or the wrong direction, but oftentimes that's keeping you actually on the correct path, but it's just a route or an exit, a detour that you had to take so you can glean something that was necessary for where you're going to end up. And I could use myself, for example, when I launched out, when I was a teacher at first. I taught for 7 years. Then I launched out to pursue entrepreneurship. Things were going well for about a year and a half or so. All of a sudden, I hit a wall where at that point I had to do something to generate income because things were getting tight. And so I ended up starting a janitorial business with a partner. And as I stated, what I stepped out to do, which was speaking and music and writing, now a janitorial business, like, that doesn't fit with this. That's not a part of the plan. I must have gotten off course. But when you look at it, and I ended up owning that business for 12 years, but that prepared me for dealing with people, becoming more organized, just communicating, just dealing with a whole bunch of, and business, dealing with those concepts that are now important to what I'm doing and where I am today. But had I not, you know, kept the focus that I knew that this was the end game, I could have gotten discouraged and been like, well, you know, just giving up on my destiny. But through it all, I kept writing, kept speaking, kept doing the music, and as I stated, we're still doing those things today. And it although it seemed like I was off course, I was actually still on course. So the route is what makes the difference.
Let's talk for a second about divine timing. I think that's so vitally important.
Yes.
So many times people will say, but it has to be here because I'm going to sink. Something's going to happen. Things aren't going to work out right. It's sort of like you set out on this goal, but you forgot your life jacket kind of idea sometimes.
Yes.
Don't you think that divine timing sometimes means maybe you need to just hold on to the buoy for a while in the ocean,
yes.
you know, so to speak? It's sort
yes.
of like, you know,
yes.
I've always said on this show before is that resistance is a nap in the road. It's no
yes.
big deal, you know.
Yes.
So don't you think that divine timing, sometimes we see it, but sometimes we might read it differently.
Yes, yes. And I'm a firm believer that our lives are on a divine timetable. And with that being said, I've learned that through divine inspiration and insight that you have like five measurements of time we could use. We could use more, but I just won't get that specific. But we'll just look at five. And so looking at a time, a season, day, hour, and a moment. And when we're talking about the alignment of all of those measurements of time, and we're talking about, you know, not the fact that it's just your time or it's just your season, but it's also your day. And then as you notice, it goes from general to specific. And that's what we're trying to get to, that divine moment, that one place in the road that's just going to make the world of a difference. If you ask many successful and famous people, they'll be able to pinpoint exactly what decision, what opportunity it was that really catapulted their career and made the transformation and a huge difference. And that's what we're all looking for, and that's what we're actually all preparing for on the journey, getting to that spot, that one place in, you know, the time, season, day, hour, moment, where all of those measurements of time connect and align, and then something great typically happens. Our destiny is born, our purpose is manifested, but that's what we're trying to get to, that particular place. And it just takes patience. It takes continuing on the journey. And like you said, sometimes on the journey, you're going to take a pause. You're going to take a stop. You're going to need a break. You have to be flexible. That's what I've learned. If you can be flexible, then everything you desire, the visions and the goals you have, you can obtain them as long as you're flexible, because you have to accommodate those unforeseen circumstances and obstacles that are going to arise. And as you stated, I like what you said, you know, that the resistance is a part of it. You know, don't throw in the towel just because of resistance and opposition or everything doesn't go your way. Just keep on. Just adjust. Just make your adjustments.
Let's talk for a second about grace, you know, and faith. A lot of times people will say, but I do my gratitude journal, and I'm almost to the point where I think that's another word that needs to be kicked to the curb these days for gratitude. Because gratitude, when people are doing the gratitude journal, they're gratitude for this, that, or the other. They aren't gratitude for the pain, for the suffering, for the journey, you know, for the poverty, for the survival, you know, the gratitude for all the positive things, and they tend to diss the message in the first place. So I almost look at it as, and then we use the word blessings, and people say, well, a blessing is something that comes from somewhere else.
Yeah.
When you would be able to bless something from the inside, welcoming whatever shows up.
Yes.
Don't you think sometimes we get stuck in the message and we say, I want that over there, I don't want this over there, and you only bless and feel that you are honored, you know, on the path by these choices?
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, you know, it's all about you get the good and the bad, but all things work together for good. And so it's like you have to be aware, and in a way, you know, like you said, people don't want the gratitude for the bad things, but you have to be grateful for those, because had you not went through those things, it wouldn't have turned on the light bulb. Like, for instance, if you wouldn't have been betrayed, then you would still be naive and just so trusting and open to everyone. You know, say, for instance, if you hadn't gotten sick or whatever, you wouldn't be more cognizant and more focused on your health and eating right and living. You know, whatever happens normally that's bad, it helps us to learn some very valuable lessons and to pick up some things within us, some intangible, valuable concepts, you know, and principles we begin to adhere to after experiencing some of those pains and turmoils. And it's funny that we're talking about this. Yesterday I had just ministered and spoke and talked about the message was the prophecy, the pain, and the promise. And mm-hmm. that middle ground is the pain stage. And the
right.
word pain stood for an acronym, which was problems, adversities, injustices, and negativity. And that's what we encounter oftentimes in the middle of this journey. That's where the resistance and opposition comes. That's where all kinds of, you know, things just go crazy in our lives. But we have to be thankful for those as well, because really, those things are really where the lessons are. That's where you really learn. You don't learn much when you're really succeeding and flourishing. As a matter of fact, sometimes you get the big head. You're like, well, I got it going on, and this is just me, and, you know, everything is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get a setback, or you get doors slammed in your face, or you get some harsh critic coming along, then it's like, hold on, you know, wait, I need to, you know, stay humble. I need to fix some things. Even I always say, even the best can get better, and that's what we want to have, that mentality that even the setbacks, the pains, the problems, that they're a part of it too, and I can embrace them as well as, like you said, the blessings, and be grateful for that as well.
Let's talk for a second about what the word faith means to you, because I think the idea of does faith mean no matter what comes down the pike, you accept it? Does faith mean you sometimes will be able to say, is this the right pike that I should be on? Or is faith also just being in awareness for everything and making conscious decisions along the path? That's three totally different paths,
yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah, but it's funny because all of them constitute faith. All of them mm-hmm. constitute faith because, you know, when I look at it, I guess my definition would be just believing in something, whereas you're willing to put forth your time, your effort, and your money or your resources towards it. But like you said, at the same time, you have to be able to question your faith to make sure that you have the right faith and that you're believing in the right thing and that you're going in the right direction. Because some people feel that, okay, that's not showing faith when you're questioning, you're wondering about it. No, you should always examine your faith to make sure that you're going in the right direction and you're believing in doing the right thing. And like I say, it accommodates all three of those definitions. And that's what happens. Sometimes people get stuck and become one-dimensional even with a term like that and just trying to put everyone in a box and say, well, no, this is just what faith is. But no, faith encompasses all of those definitions that you gave, and it's just, you know, going forward, believing you're going in the right direction, but at the same time questioning it, making sure, you know, scrutinizing yourself, scrutinizing the things you're doing just to make sure you're on the path. There's nothing wrong with that. And as I stated, most people think that's showing a lack of faith. But no, it's showing wisdom, which comes
right.
with faith as well. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sometimes we have to have discernment and we say, how dare we question it?
Yeah.
However, maybe it is there for you to learn discernment or
yeah.
to learn something else, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I'll give you a prime example. The current job that I have, what happened, okay, I was with the janitorial business, and I was down to kind of like my last main contract, and what happened right before this one, I kind of got to a place to, like you said, my fate was in the fact that I'm just going to be an entrepreneur and I'm not going to get another job. You know, that was where I was. Well, anyway, I prayed about it, and I felt as though that you know, well, initially I was against this job because it was the position became available. But like I said, my fate was in the fact that I was going to just be that entrepreneur. Well, after I prayed about it and everything, I felt that this job was for me and that I was supposed to take it, that I was destined to have it. And lo and behold, thank God I did, because it's basically as soon as I was getting this job, I didn't notice, but I was going to lose my last janitorial contract.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like we talked about that timing. And then after I analyzed it, I literally had the janitorial for, when I say 12 years exact, I started it February 1st of 2006, and I ended it February 1st of 2018. And I started this job on February 1st of 2018. And so when I say I couldn't have scripted that better. I couldn't have done that, you know. It had to be fate and destiny and purpose, you know, for me to do what I'm doing. But had I not questioned it or you know, got some divine inspiration and insight and just kept on with my idea of what fate would be and what I was believing in, then I would have missed it. And I would have, you know, really suffered, because I would have been unemployed and, you know, things would have happened with that. But, yes, so that's what I'm saying. You have to constantly check your fate and see, you know, to make sure that I'm believing and doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think sometimes we say, I expected it to be, and they live a life of regrets.
Yeah.
Or they live a life of, I didn't get it, or, you know, how dare God not show it up, or, you know, it's always like a whole lot of casting of the squall or casting of the stones kind of idea at the end.
Yeah.
So many times people will say, well, God, how dare you take me on this journey? You knew it wasn't going to turn out. And, you know, maybe it was about the journey, not about the end result.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how are we to know anything, and are we to follow or lead blindly?
Well, I think what happens, you have three types of vision, I always say. Okay, you have the divine vision, comes from God. Then you have an illusion, comes from a bad source, the devil. Then you have your own imagination. And what happens, you have to make sure that you are aligning with, or no, like you said, discernment. You have to discern and make sure you're aligning with the proper vision, because I believe if it's divinely inspired, God is going to get you there. You're going to get there. But if you're following, you know, a hoax or an illusion, or you're following your own imagination, well, then you might not get there. And I think that's what happens to a lot of people. They went after what they thought was divinely inspired, but it was either something, you know, it was trickery and or an illusion, or it was just their imagination, just something that they always wanted. But they try to say, well, this is divine and this is supposed to happen. And then when it doesn't happen, of course, there's a huge letdown. But I think, you know, we have to make sure we're following that divine path. And then, you know, things will fall into line, even though there will be opposition. You know, you're gonna have opposition. I don't care which path you take, but you will be victorious, because, you know, you'll have supernatural assistance and help to get to where you're supposed to be.
Because I think sometimes, you know, people will say, oh, I faltered on that path all the time and it didn't work. Well, maybe that was the purpose. Maybe you needed to fall on your butt for a while, you know, because maybe sometimes you were just too high in the clouds, or maybe you needed to see something that was down there when you were there, or maybe you just needed to roll over and figure out, I can teach people how to get out of this, and that's my path. So I think for every single second and breath we take in this world, we can say, what is this? This is cool. Great. And not always, I think, maybe in the end, judge or chastise so much versus saying accept and dance with it. Isn't that grace?
That's great. That is awesome. And I truly believe exactly what you said. Sometimes you're that trailblazer, that trendsetter, and, you know, your life may seem like it was just full of mistakes, full of wrong turns and stuff, but in actuality, it's going to serve as a roadmap for others of things they shouldn't do. And I know you hate to be that. That's basically the scapegoat or the guinea pig for such an experiment. But sometimes that's who you are, you know. And I hate to say that. And I know it's scary. And I know it seems unfair. But that is the truth to the matter. Some people, that's really their lot in life. That's, those are the cards that they're dealt. And like you said, you just have to dance at the end. You have to come to that realization that, wow, that's what my life was all about, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And you know what? Don't you think also, too, in closing, Damon, we can say some people's lives are meant to be just that difficult because maybe they are for others to reflect onto their path and say, wow, I see how hard your life is.
Yeah.
And it turns something in them for their own life. So in other words, maybe we are just to be way showers to reflect out on how our life is versus always having to say, I have to fix something.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Like I say, you know, we just have to go with the flow of life. And sometimes it's going to take you to some very scary places, some dangerous places, some bad, depressing places. But it's all a part of the journey, you know. And like you said, some people, unfortunately, that's their whole life, their entire lives sounds like that. But, you know, hopefully for many of us, we won't have to have a total life of that, that we do have some sunlight and some victories and things of that nature. But at the same time, you know, you just never know what your life is going to be, you know.
Right. Well, Damon, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. I think a lot of times people say, I'm not quite sure.
Yeah.
I know there's something there, and hopefully our words help to inspire them today, and I thank you so much for that.
Yes, and I thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette, for having me. It was really an awesome conversation. Like you said, hopefully some people are able to receive some valuable insight and wisdom that will help them with their lives.
Right. Damon, can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That'd be wonderful.
Yes, they can visit my comprehensive website. It's darill.org. And there you have all of the information, my biographical information, my services, my products, as well as my links to my social media platforms. But just real quickly on Facebook, I'm at Damon, D-A-M-O-N dot Naylor, N-A-I-L-E-R. And it's the same thing at Instagram, Damon, D-A-M-O-N dot N-A-I-L-E-R. And Twitter is D-A-R-I-L and the number one. So you can find me at either of those places, or the simplest place to go is D-A-R-I-L. .org.
Well, Damon, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. I thank you so much for the conversation.
Thank you, Dr. Jeanette.
If you'd like to find out more information about Damon Darill Naylor, please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page, and you go directly to his website for more information. And it truly is about being able to explore your thoughts, be able to see what's out there and say, you know what, there's so much more these days in 2019 with the Internet. There is things just everywhere. Isn't in that really cool? It's about the exploration is the journey. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.